Well, welcome, everybody. This subject that I want to look at you with today is very dear to my heart. God's heart is toward worship. God wants worship. Our Heavenly Father is seeking for worshipers. And there's a lot of different things going on in music nowadays. But I believe that God wants us to have a vision of what our Father desires and that we specialize in that area, that we minister to our Father, our Heavenly Father. When we lead a song service, I'll call it, the purpose is to bring people into the presence of God. That's our goal. It's not to a time to pray. You know, some people stop and pray and do this and that, but really, it's not a time to pray. It's a time to lead them into the presence of God. I'm not saying you never pray in a service. I'm just saying that some people, God will begin to move. The Holy Spirit will begin to come in and they stop and pray. And it diverts what God wants to do. It's not a time to exhort. When you are assigned to be the worship leader, that's what you are assigned to do, is to lead worship. And I want to get us thinking in that regard. It's not a time to be funny. Now, there can be times when something funny happens that, you know, is not an attempt to make humor or to entertain people. But it's very easy to get into that mode of trying to please the crowd. That's not the goal of a true worship leader. The goal of the true worship leader is to bring that group into the presence of God and into true worship in spirit and in truth. Now, Psalm 100 and verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Now, there's different kinds of songs, and I talked with Sister Catherine, and I've asked her to really emphasize this concept along with whatever else the Lord's given her, but it's very important to learn to analyze what a song is made of. What is the message of that song? What is the purpose of that song? You know, I remember songs when I was a child. "I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old." It was singing about a home in heaven. Well, I'd like to live in God's house. I'd like to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That song to me is worthless. And it was worthless then. I mean, you know, it's not based on scriptural foundations. And what's the purpose of it, just singing about my house in heaven? And we'd all talk about, you know, what, I mean, I remember hearing people talking about different kinds of homes they were going to design to have in heaven and all that. And it's like, oh my, please. But we want to think of what is the content of what we're singing about. What is the purpose of it? You know, a lot of our music and that can be about what I need. You know, what I'm looking for. But I want to get you thinking about what is God looking for. He created worship. He's the one that originated. And What is he seeking in the worship service? Now, coming in with thanksgiving and praise is appropriate. That is appropriate. God wants us to be thankful. And there's something about it when we are thankful ourselves in entering the presence of God. But I'll tell you, my dad liked cow music, country music. And I'm telling you, there's some very sorrowful songs out there. But these kind of things are not useful in worship because of the content of what's in the song. Psalm 47 verse 1 says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph." And there's a time when that is appropriate. God wants us to do that. And we want to learn to how to respond in God's presence. And the song leader, who I really like to call a worship leader, but we'll just talk about song leaders for a few minutes. But the goal is, as we said, to bring people into the presence of God. It's not to glorify the music team. It's not to attract people's attention to people. It's to touch the heart of God with what he's looking for. And in Nehemiah 12 and 24, the chief of the Levites, Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Jeshua, the son of Kadmiel, with their brethren over against them, to praise and to give thanks according to the commandment of David, the man of God, ward over against ward. And I want to encourage pastors, especially, when you appoint somebody to lead the song service, let them know very clearly what the goal is. Let them know that you want them to bring people into the presence of God and to worship the Father. You want to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because that's what he wants. That's what he's looking for. We'll look at that in a minute. In Psalm 100, verse 4, when it says to bless his name, that literally means to kneel in blessing. And we want to have that awe, that respect of God, that it's all for him. But I've seen song leaders that were interested in what was for them. They were exhibiting their skills or their abilities, and it attracted attention to them instead of to our Father. And our goal is to lead them into the presence of God. Now let's go to John chapter 4 and verse 23. John 4 and 23. Jesus was with the Samaritan woman at the well. And this woman had quite a past. But Jesus began to talk to her about some very precious things near to the heart of God. And this woman responded. She wanted something different. She was looking for something that she had never experienced. And Jesus begins to teach her about what the Father is looking for, of all people. You know, you wouldn't think he would start with somebody like that, but he did. And he said in John 4, 23, "But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. So Jesus is letting us know very clearly what God wants, God the Father is looking for. And so that's going to define where we go in music. It's going to define where we go. My wife and I went on a little anniversary, number 51, a couple weeks ago. And there must not have been football games on because my wife is hooked on football. But we were watching a Bill Gaither special. And he had a trio of men, brothers, three brothers singing, that sang a song, I Met the Master, Now I Belong to Him. And I'm telling you, it would make all the little girls cry. I mean, it was awesome the way they sang it, the harmony. It's just like, man, it drew your soul in. It was very soulish. And it was powerful, but it was soulish. It wasn't worship. And it took things another direction. It made you feel really good, but I didn't feel like worshiping God because it was so soulish. But Jesus gives us direction here that is very important. He says, the Father, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So God is looking for those who worship out of their spirit. We are a three-part being. We are a three-part being. We are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. Jesus is looking for what comes not just out of our body. And see, the body really responds to rhythm. Rhythm is very powerful. And it's hard when there's tricky rhythm or syncopated rhythm. It's hard to keep your toe still. You know, you've got to tap your toe or wiggle, or I mean, there's all kinds of things people do. And it's because the music is specializing in rhythm. Rhythm is very powerful to affect the body. It's very powerful to affect the body. Now, there's a time to dance before the Lord, but it's not because of the rhythm. It's because of how the Holy Spirit's leading. Secondly, the second part of our being is soul and the harmony of a song. These fellows I was telling you about that sang that song about how they met the Master, there was tremendous harmony. There were times you weren't sure which one was singing the lead. I mean, it was close. It really draws your soul in. It was awesome. And, you know, it's as powerful as any love song. I could have sang that to my wife and she would have been awed, except I can't sing like they did. But the soul loves harmony. And harmony is not bad. And rhythm is not bad, but they cannot lead in the worship service. They cannot lead the worship service. Because worship is in spirit. It comes out of our spirit, not our soul, which is most moved by harmony or by the rhythm, which is basically physical. It's not governed by those factors. It comes out of our spirit. And the Father seeking spirit, worship in spirit and in truth. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, it's talking about melody. Paul must have understood something about music, but melody should be the strongest part of the music we're using in worship. The melody should be the strongest. Now, harmony, yes, there can be harmony in it. There's going to be rhythm in it. Let's hope there's some rhythm that people can stay together on. But it's not the governing factor to have rhythm or harmony. What is the driving force behind the song? The driving force is the melody of that music. The makeup of that music must be strong in melody. That's, and it's got to be centered on, and I'm going to leave it to Sister Catherine to bring out the difference with what is the content of that message in the music. What is the content of it? Because, you know, you can sing about all kinds of things, but the Father's looking for adoration. He's looking for us to respect Him, to honor Him, to love Him. And yet it's so easy to sing about many other things, but He wants us to begin to develop that sensitivity to what pleases Him the most. The worship service this morning was tremendous. There was such a wonderful flow, and it was exalting to our Heavenly Father. And we want to become sensitive to the kind of music we're using and what it does to the people. How it leads them. What is the outcome of it? Now, if you want to please people, use rock music. They like it. Little wiggle jiggle and they're happy. But that doesn't please the heart of God. Harmony? Oh, you can become very swoony. Is that translate? Into Spanish. You can really swoon like Moon River, you know. And all the harmony of different voices coming together and instruments and all that. But see, Paul says, singing and making melody with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what our Father's looking for. And I want to encourage us that if we're responsible for overseeing, and trust me that, pastors, you should be in charge of the worship department. David. See, in this verse we read here in Nehemiah 12:24, David gave the direction on how the music should be conducted. He didn't just let any song in. It had to be approved by David and later some others that were appointed priests in the music. We need to consider, we need to be sensitive about what does God like. Not what do I like, but what does God like? Not what moves the people. Oh, they can get moved, but The goal is true worship in spirit and in truth. And see, our Father created music in a pure form that Satan has perverted. Satan takes the true. Satan takes what God has created that's pure and diverts it and perverts it and uses it to take our heart away from God. I can be singing about Jesus, but if the music is not the right music, your mind goes off on something else. Because, you know, it's the structure of the music is running the show. Just the words alone don't do it. These other elements, rhythm and harmony, are very powerful. And God wants us to be sensitive to those factors. But Satan seeks to divert and pervert music from God's intention and use it for his own glorification, to turn man's heart away from God. He doesn't care if we sing about Jesus as long as we're not really focusing on him, as long as we're really not loving him. See, if we're just singing to feel good about ourselves, that's not going to please our Father. So I want to encourage you to think that way. God has purposed music for us to worship him from our spirit and in truth toward him. It's not for our own use. It is not for our own use. Now, I do want to make this clear, that when we worship in spirit and in truth, we will find God's presence and response to us very satisfying in ways that nothing else can do. God, when he's pleased, he's going to let us know it. And his presence will touch us in ways that nothing else can. And so I want to encourage you how important it is. And Catherine's going to explain this and make it clear. But God wants us to be sensitive to it, be aware of it always. Now, I want to encourage you with just a couple things here. Be a worship leader, not a song leader. Be a worship leader, not a song leader. Now, when you talk about being a leader, you're in some position where people see where you're going and they come with you. And I want to encourage you, when you lead, when you're going to go off into praise and worship and exalting the Lord, let everybody know what's happening. I know some people will just kind of stop and wait and see what happens. Don't do that. When you're wanting everybody to lift up their voice and exalt the Lord, you do it. And they'll follow you. Or something that I see that can be troubling also is people will sometimes lead and get everything going into worship and exalting God, and then they stop and they're quiet and they wait to see what's going to happen. Now, I realize we need to make a place for prophecy, but most people that really flow in prophecy, they could stop a freight train, the noise of a freight train, with their voice, if they wanted to. they could see with our voice, we let the people know where we're going. We lead them into exalting and glorifying God. And the stopping and just waiting can really stop the flow. Because everybody's waiting for a word from the Lord. Well, that word will get through. But many times, see, there needs to be a much greater flow of praise and worship. There, you know, we could go on for, you know, a long time. And God would come in waves and in power that we've never experienced before. But many times it's cut off to wait for a prophecy. Well, you don't do that every time. Now, I'm not despising prophecy. I'm not trying to hinder prophecy. If somebody's burning with a word from God that has to be spoken, they'll come right in and everybody will know what's happening. And then it'll go right back into the worship. And I want to encourage you. This, we as Zion Fellowship. Zion, isn't there a song, Zion is a place of singing. Zion is a place of joy. How does it go? Zion is the place of worship. It's the dwelling of the Lord. Oh, we want this natural Zion here to be that. And we want to give the Father what he's looking for and not go off into other side issues that take us away from the presence of God. And I remember times in Bible school when, well, we had one session. We went for probably 6 or 8 weeks, and chapel service was completely dead. I mean, there was no flow of life at all. And one Friday morning, we came in to chapel, and we started singing, and the presence of God just settled in. And we were worshiping and singing to the Lord for literally hours. Several hours, clear till noon, I think it was. And the reason was, I mean, there had been sin in the camp, and the administration dealt with it, and the sinners were thrown out, and the presence of God returned. It was awesome. But see, sometimes, maybe, you know, we've got a clock up here that it counts down. You got so long, and if you don't, there's a trap door up there. They push a button, and you go down. No, we don't have that. That's not the goal. But if God is moving in praise and in worship, oh, we want to flow in that. Now, I've seen some people try to make that happen every time, you know, for 3 hours. No, that's not the goal. The goal is when the heart of God is satisfied and God's indicating to move on to something else, then we do that. But if it's 2 hours long, we want to flow. Now, unless it's before lunch, because at 12 o'clock, the kitchen has a half hour to serve them everybody. If we're not done and we don't get out there, you don't get lunch. But if God indicates, I'd give up lunch for a few hours in the presence of my Father. Amen. And so I want to get us thinking that way. I'm not trying to throw off our programs and that, but we want Him. We want to please His heart. We want to delight Him. All right. Bless you.